It's Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network.
The Justice Department announced last night that it has appointed former FBI Director Robert Mueller as special counsel in the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.
The move comes a week after the firing of FBI Director James Comey and days after Comey memos were released that seemed to indicate President Trump was asking him to drop an investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's ties to Russia.
Callum Borchers joins us now. He covers the intersection of politics and the media for The Fix at The Washington Post. Callum, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's look first at the scope of Mueller's job here as special counsel. What does it entail?
Well, the main thing is that he is going to exist outside of the typical bounds of the Trump-appointed Justice Department, right? The whole idea here is to avoid the inescapable conflict of interest that you would have had with a Trump-picked FBI head leading the investigation the rest of the way forward. Now, of course, whoever Trump picks to replace James Comey will have to go through the Senate confirmation process. But since Republicans control the Senate, there's always that concern that it would just be a rubber stamp, and you're effectively choosing who investigates your own campaign, right? Mm-hmm. So the whole idea is to bring in Mueller. What is, I think, still to be answered, though, is exactly how much freedom he will be given. The special prosecutor sounds great in theory, but as I have looked through the history of special prosecutors, there are instances in which presidents and attorney generals have leaned on special prosecutors or at times yanked them off altogether. Of course, everybody remembers the Saturday Night Massacre, in which Richard Nixon ordered the firing of Archibald Cox. As probably the most famous example, but it's not the only one. I mean, you can go back to the 1800s and President Grant firing a special prosecutor who had been brought in to investigate the Whiskey Ring scandal, which implicated the president's assistant, although not the president directly. So that's kind of the question that we'll have to see going forward. Will Mueller have full freedom and authority to do his own thing, and will he be given all the resources that he needs by the Justice Department to do it?
And how did he arrive on the scene? How was he appointed?
Well, he's a logical pick in the sense that he held the job that James Comey had before James Comey, so mm-hmm. he's a natural fit in that sense.
A dozen years.
Exactly. And he is also someone who is highly regarded by both parties. I thought it was notable, again, as somebody who covers the press, I was struck this morning by the strong endorsement that Mueller got from the New York Times editorial board today. They were their message to their readers, who lean left, was that you can rest assured that this investigation will be conducted with integrity. And so I think that that's what Rod Rosenstein was going for. To answer sort of the mechanics of your question, he was picked by Rosenstein, who is the newly installed deputy attorney general. Ordinarily, the attorney general might make the appointment, except that in this case, the attorney general is Jeff Sessions, who was a big-time Trump supporter during the campaign and who recused himself from investigations related to the election because of his own failure during confirmation process to disclose his meetings with the Russian ambassador to the United States. So that's how the responsibility fell down to Rosenstein. And in a perfect little twist of history here, I'm reminded of a scenario that played out in 2003 when you had the Justice Department looking for a special prosecutor to lead the probe into who in the Bush administration had leaked the name of the CIA operative Valerie Plame mm-hmm. to the press. You might remember this episode. And again, it was a scenario where John Ashcroft believed that he had a conflict of interest, or at least the appearance of a conflict of interest, and had recused himself. So again, in that scenario, it was the deputy attorney general who had to pick the special prosecutor. And in 2003, the deputy attorney general was James Comey.
So how long might an investigation like this take? What are we looking at here?
Well, that's a great question. And for all of the leaks coming out of Washington right now, that is one thing that has remained a pretty well-kept secret. James Comey never gave any indication about how far along the FBI's investigation was or how long he thought that it might take. And I have to believe that when Mueller takes over, there will be a little bit of a catching up process, and that he is going to take his time. So I can't even put a timeline on it at this point. Mm.
We're talking right now with Callum Borchers. He covers politics and the media at The Washington Post. We're talking about the appointment of former FBI Director Robert Mueller as special counsel in the investigation into possible Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. So what do you get as a sense on what's happening on Capitol Hill right now with Mueller's appointment? What are Democrats and Republicans saying about this, and what is the mood like on Capitol Hill?
Well, Democrats are generally happy. You had several dozen Democrats in the Senate calling for a special prosecutor or an independent counsel last week as soon as the president fired James Comey, for the very reason that we mentioned a moment ago, that he was going to get a chance to pick Comey's successor and that an apparent conflict of interest would be unavoidable. Some Republicans have said that they feel as though the selection of an independent counsel is unnecessary, but I have not heard a lot of complaining about Mueller specifically. As I said, he is highly regarded by folks in both parties, and so whether politicians think that he needs to be here or not, I think most of them do trust that he will do a good job.
It's been said that Mueller has prosecution running through his veins, that he is at heart a prosecutor. Won't he be under pressure to bring criminal indictments of some kind to justify his existence?
I would say yes and no. The pressure always exists in a job like this, but part of the beauty of picking somebody like Mueller is that he really doesn't have a whole lot to gain in terms of, you know, ambitions for something else. He's 72 years old. He has been, you know, out of the FBI for 4 years. He is not someone who is here looking for that next gig. And so that should insulate him somewhat from the political pressures that might come with someone else who is thinking, boy, I better not anger this side, or I better make sure I appease this group because I need to be thinking about my future.
Will this in any way put a fear in the White House and the day-to-day workings of the White House for everyone, regardless of whether there is guilt or innocence on anyone because of this investigation going on the outside?
I think that the candid answer, if you gave folks in the White House the truth serum, would be yes, on the one hand. However, the way the White House has been framing this publicly and also, you know, privately to journalists is that in some ways the appointment of Robert Mueller is a relief. And by that I mean especially relief for the communications office, which feels now, at least when Sean Spicer or Sarah Huckabee Sanders is in the briefing room answering questions about what is the latest going on in the investigation, they have an easier time of saying, I'm just going to refer that question to the special prosecutor. I'm going to refer that question to the special prosecutor. Mm. You know, to some degree, they've always been able to say, you know, you'll have to talk to the FBI about that. But because the investigation had always been, you know, conducted under the purview of the Trump administration's Justice Department, there was a closer connection than you have now. So perhaps that is a bit of a relief valve in one sense.
Callum, your news organization, The Washington Post, had obtained audio that allegedly has top GOP lawmakers, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, joking about President Trump's potential ties to Russia. And this was audio well before he was ever nominated. What can you tell us about this recording?
Yeah, it was in a private meeting among Republican lawmakers in the House, and the key line that we and everyone has focused on was when Kevin McCarthy, who is the House majority leader, said that he believes there are two people that Vladimir Putin pays, and one of them he named was Donald Trump. That, of course, was the most significant name. And folks laughed in the room, and then he followed up by saying, swear to God. And it's a little bit difficult to tell how serious he was. Now, the way that his office and Paul Ryan's office have answered questions about it now is to say it was obviously a joke. It was perhaps a failed attempt at humor, but it was just that, an attempt at humor. The problem with just dismissing it as nothing more than a quip is that that's not what they said at the outset. When our reporter reached out initially with the quotes and said, how do you explain this, both the Ryan office and the McCarthy office denied that the remark ever happened. And then we went back and said, well, we have a transcript of the remark. And they said, well, the transcript must be inaccurate. Didn't happen. And then we went back a third time and said, well, we've heard a recording. It definitely happened. And then they said, oh, well, then it was just a joke. So that sort of undercuts their credibility, of course, right? If it was just a joke, well, then why give the false denial in the first place? And, of course, you can also hear on the recording Paul Ryan rather worried that the remark might get out, because he reminds everyone, hey, this is an off-the-record meeting, no leaks, this is how we know that we're a real family, this stays within the family, et cetera. It's possible, of course, that there's a middle ground here, right? And I touched on this in a piece I wrote last night. It could very well be that Kevin McCarthy was joking in the sense that he doesn't literally believe that Donald Trump is cashing checks from Vladimir Putin. But the underlying sentiment of the joke, if it is a joke, is that he believes that Donald Trump is uncomfortably cozy with the Kremlin. And so just the thought that that is a belief held by Republican leadership is a really bad look for the White House.
Thank you so much, Callum. We really appreciate it.
Glad to be with you.
Callum Borchers covers the intersection of politics and the media for The Fix at The Washington Post. He joined us today to talk about the appointment of former FBI Director Robert Mueller as special counsel in the investigation into potential Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election.